كتاب الله أحياني وبالترتيل رباني فيه قد عاد إنساني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. My elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the month of Ramadan, each one of us, all of us, we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Holy Prophet says, وَشَهْرٌ دُعِيتُمْ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ ضِيَافَةِ اللَّهِ, that it is a month in which we have been invited to become the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now that in this month that we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us and He has given us utmost respect. It is a norm in every community, in every society, that whenever we have got a guest, we normally honor the guest. We respect the guest. And similarly, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done with us. And that is why in this sermon of the Holy Prophet continues and he says that now that we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, what he has done to us is that he says, وَأَنْفَاسُكُمْ فِيهِ تَسْبِيحِ, that even your breathing in this holy month is counted and considered as to be tasbih. And you are being rewarded for breathing in this holy month. And not only that, the Holy Prophet says that وَنَوْمُكُمْ فِيهِ عِبَادَةً, even your sleep, when you rest in the holy month of Ramadan, that also is considered as ibadah. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us in this month. We have already entered into the second half of the month of Ramadan. And indeed, this second half of the month of Ramadan is more important than the first half of this month. The nights of Qadr are in this second half of the month. And the importance of these nights is not hidden from any one of us. But from the historical perspective as well, we have got some events that have taken place in the second half of the month of Ramadan. The first battle of Islam, the Battle of Badr, took place on the 17th of the month of Ramadan. It has got its own importance. But we also have the martyrdom of our first holy Imam, Imam Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam, in this holy month. And this basically adds to the importance of these last few days of the month of Ramadan. In the same manner that during the months of Muharram and Safar, we talk about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and the tragedy of Karbala, in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, we talk more about the Holy Prophet of Islam. In the month of Jamadiul Awwal and Akhir, we talk more about Bibi Fatima salamullahi alayha. And in the month of Ramadan, it is important that we dedicate more time to discuss the personality and life of our first holy Imam Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. There is a narration that Anas bin Malik, one of the companions of the Holy Prophet. He says that once the Holy Prophet was walking in the streets of Medina together with his companions. And he came across, Ali bin Abi Talib also was with him, and we came across a very beautiful garden. And Amirul Mu'mineen said to the Holy Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, how beautiful is this place? And the Holy Prophet tells Amirul Mu'mineen that, Ya Ali, but the garden that which you will be in Akhirah, is more beautiful than this one. Anas says that we came across 7 different gardens, and this was what Ali bin Abi Talib used to say, and this was what the Holy Prophet used to reply him, that your paradise, your place in Jannah is more beautiful than this garden. But after that, he says that the Holy Prophet started weeping. He put his head on the shoulder of Amir al-Mu'mineen and started weeping. Amir al-Mu'mineen asked the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? Why are you weeping? And the Holy Prophet says that قال ضغائن في صدور قوم لا يبدونها لك حتى يفقدوني. The Holy Prophet tells Amir al-Mu'mineen that there is hatred and enmity in some people of my community against you and towards you. And this hatred and enmity, they will not show it unless and until after I have passed away. And then see what Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam tells the Holy Prophet. That the Holy Prophet tells him that you have to be patient. Imam says that, well, if I am there, if they display their hatred, I will fight against them. I can stand against them. I can raise my sword and stand against them. But the Holy Prophet says that, no, bal tasbir, you have to be patient and you have to show patience. Ali alayhi salam tells the Holy Prophet, فَإِن صَبَرْتُ, but what will happen if I remain patient? The Holy Prophet tells him, تُلَاقِي جُهْدًا, that, O Ali, you will face tribulations and you will face difficulties. You will practice patience, you will be sabir, but you will come across tribulations and difficulties. Now here, Amirul Mu'mineen asked the Holy Prophet one very famous question that our elders and our youths may have heard of that. He asked the Holy Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, afi salamatin min dini? But tell me one thing, that when I come across those difficulties and those tribulations, is my iman going to be safe? Or my legs will tremble and will shake and I will fail in that imtihan and in that test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam tells him that, Ya Ali, your iman will be safe. Your iman at that time will be safe. Then Ali alayhi salam says that, فَإِذَنْ لَا أُبَالِي, then I'm not even worried about those times that I will have to face difficulties and tribulations after you. Indeed, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, during his 5-year rule in Kufa and over the Islamic Ummah, he had undergone many difficulties and tribulations. There is no doubt about that. Fitna had occurred during the time of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. But he stood against all these fitna and he successfully came out of all these fitna and dissensions. Not only that, but even when it comes to the leadership of Amirul Mu'mineen, during this period, it was a unique kind of leadership. A leadership that reminded the Muslims of the leadership of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When Ali became the Khalifa, the first day when he led the prayers, some of the very famous companions of the Holy Prophet who had seen the times of the Holy Prophet, they say that this prayer and this salah of Ali bin Abi Talib has reminded us of the prayer of the Holy Prophet. Similarly, when it comes to the Khilafah, the leadership of Ali bin Abi Talib, it reminded people the leadership of the Holy Prophet. Inshallah, in these 3 nights that I've been given, my topic of discussion, or rather I will be focusing on the personality of Ali bin Abi Talib in 2 ways. Number one, the leadership of Ali bin Abi Talib. And secondly, the fitna that occurred during his time. It is very important because according to the Holy Quran, in each and every age, there is no community. There are no people who will not come across fitna. Each one of us, every community and every society will confront some kind of fitna and a divine test. This is the norm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is very important for us to know that how can we overcome all this fitna? How can we overcome all these dissensions? And how can we basically become successful in these divine tests? It is very important. The life of Amirul Mu'mineen, the last five years of his life, they give us a very great lessons when it comes to how to confront the fitna, how to confront the different difficulties that the societies and different communities go through. When it comes to the leadership of the Holy Prophet, we say that the leadership of Amirul Mu'mineen reminded people about the leadership of the Holy Prophet. The leadership of the Holy Prophet was a unique leadership in history. Nehru was once the Prime Minister of India. In his book, The Glimpses of World History, when he talks about the coming of Islam, and when he talks about the success of the Holy Prophet, he says that it is one of the wonders of history, is that the speed in which Islam spread all over the world, in Asia, in Africa, in Europe. And not only that, and not only the spread of Islam, but the high culture and civilization that the Muslims developed during that time after the Holy Prophet, he says that this is one of the wonders of history. It is unbelievable that a community which was completely uncivilized, they came to develop a civilization that was ruling over the world. The Muslims at one time were leading the caravan of science and technology in the world. But this was the effect of the leadership of the Holy Prophet. He says that this is one of the wonders of the Prophet of Islam. This is indeed true. No one can deny the success of the Holy Prophet. The leadership of this man, in 23 years, it transformed that community. And this is the leadership that we today, we the Muslims, the Muslim community, the Shia community should be aspiring to achieve and to attain. And then he gives a very good analysis about the Arabian society. He says that the Arabs before Islam, they did not even bother to come out and conquer other places. We don't have this in history. And not only that, but he says that even other empires, the Roman Empire was there, the Persian Empire was there, but never ever were they bothered to come and conquer Arabia and to take it under them. They were not even bothered about that. He says that because these people were very difficult people to deal with. The Arabs were difficult people to deal with. And the Arabia could not be subdued very easily. And he says that one of the factors that led to these people, or this territory, to be not easily subdued and not easily conquered is due to the geographical factors of Arabia. He says that it is a desert area, it is mountainous, and the people are very hard. This area basically breeds people who are hard and very harsh. And that is why it was not easy for any empire, for any other country to come and conquer Arabia. This is what Nehru says. And it is indeed, it is true that as I have said, and what he has said, that the spread of Islam is one of the wonders of history. And this goes back to the leadership of the Holy Prophet. But what is even more astonishing than this is that what the Holy Prophet did in 23 years, within a span of 23 years, the Holy Prophet was able to spread Islam all over Arabia. And this is a greater miracle This is a greater miracle than the spread of Islam all over the world after the Holy Prophet. How did this man deal with these people? This is something which is very interesting. The Holy Quran says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. That, oh Prophet, if you were harsh, if you were hard-hearted, then these people would have scattered from around you. These people would have run away from you. But this was the leadership of the Holy Prophet, that he was so humble before the people, he was so patient, that he was attracting the people towards Islam. People like Arabs, who were very harsh, who were very hard, but the Holy Prophet could conquer the hearts of the people, he could conquer the minds of these people. And this goes back to the leadership of this man. But the leadership of the Holy Prophet, his leadership was accompanied with spirituality, justice, human values, honesty to the people. And this is how he won the hearts of the Arabs. He conquered the hearts of the Arabs, he conquered Arabia in a period of 23 years. When we talk about the leadership of the Holy Prophet, it is a kind of leadership that is completely different from what we see today in the modern world, the leadership in the modern world and the ancient world as well. A leadership that is divorced from ethics, from morality, from justice, from honesty. But the Holy Prophet set an example. The prophets before the Holy Prophet, all these personalities in history, they were basically bearing the torch. They were carrying the torch of justice, and they were fighting and struggling for justice in the human societies. They were fighting for humanity. They were fighting for human values. They were fighting for honesty. They were fighting for human rights. And they were fighting that people, human beings, whoever it is, he needs to be respected and he should be respected. But this leadership of the Holy Prophet was not separate from his lifestyle. Let us see how Imam, our first Holy Imam, Imam Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. How he describes the life of the Holy Prophet. He says that the Holy Prophet was a man that who he would accept the invitation of the slaves. During that time, of course, the slaves were inferior, were considered inferior. But he was a person who would accept the invitation from the slaves. Whenever he was invited by the slaves, he would accept the invitation. He would go sit with them, eat with them. Ali says that he would sit on the floor. He was the leader of the Islamic Ummah. He was a leader that commanded respect from his people. The Holy Prophet was being respected by the Muslims. If he wanted to live a life of a king, of a monarch, he would have lived that life. But the Holy Prophet never demanded that. Ali says that he would sit on the floor. And when he was asked that, Ya Rasulullah, why are you sitting on the floor? He would say that, Ana abdun min abidillah, that I am a servant among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the other servants do, I will do the same thing. Ali says that he would milk sheep with his own hands. This is how the Holy Prophet was. Not only that, he says that, see, look at his lifestyle. He says that he would not stretch his feet when he would sit in front of the people. This was the akhlaq of the Holy Prophet. Ali says that he would accept a hard task out of respect of the people. Whenever he was given any task, even if it was difficult, but he would accept it. He would not reject it. Out of his respect for the people. Out of his ihtiram for the people. And then he says that he was a person, he was the leader of the Muslim community, but he was a person who would patch his own shoes. He would sit and patch his own shoes. This was the seerah of the Holy Prophet. This was how simple this man was in his lifestyle. And his lifestyle was not divorced from his style of leadership. He did not have two personalities. He was not double-faced. What he used to do in his private life, this is exactly what he used to do in his social life. His lifestyle was a style of leadership. He was leading people with his own life. He was living that leadership. He was not somebody that he would have another face in privacy, and he would have another face when it comes to people and confronting with the people. In today's world, when it comes to leadership, one of the advices that is given to the leaders, the modern leaders, is that there is no room for religious values, for akhlaq, for ethics, for morality when it comes to leadership. If you want to be a good politician, you have to divorce ethics, you have to divorce akhlaq, you have to divorce religious values. If you want to fight for the human rights sincerely, then well, politics is not your arena, it is not your avenue. If you want to be a God-conscious person, if you want to be a muttaqi person, unataka kumcha Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then politics, siyasa is not your work. You leave it for those people who are politicians. But this is not what the Holy Prophet used to do. And this is not what Imam Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam used to do. And this is not what the prophets used to do in history. Their leadership was intertwined with ethics, morality, and justice. They had introduced the discourse of justice in the human society and for mankind. They were standing for justice, they were standing for morality and ethics. Even when it comes to their leadership, even when it comes to dealing with people, they were honest with the people. They never used to cheat the people. They never used to lie to the people. Even when it comes to the leadership, they were leaders. They were confronting problems, difficulties, challenges, fitnas, but they never lied to the people. They were always honest and sincere to the people. Once in the city of Medina, during the final days of the life of the Holy Prophet, the Holy Prophet goes to the Mosque of Medina. And he stands in front of the people and says that, "Oh people, I am about to leave this world now. If I have wronged anyone, then he should stand up and demand, either he should forgive me or he should take revenge on me. I am ready that if I have wronged anyone, he should stand and take his revenge on me." This is an incident that you have, all of you have heard of it. Just imagine that the Holy Prophet, who was the leader of this community, he is standing in front of his people and he is saying that if I have wronged anyone, he should stand and either, if he wants to take revenge on me, he should take revenge on me. Today, which leader in the world do we know and do we recognize that who is so honest and sincere to his people that he would stand in front of his people and say that if I have wronged anyone, he should come and take revenge on me? A person stood up, stands up. He said that, "Ya Rasulullah, I have something against you and you have wronged me and I want to take revenge on you." The Holy Prophet says, "Fine. What has happened?" He says that one day you are coming back to Medina from a battle and you were holding a lash, a whip in your hand through which you are driving the animal, the mount. And as you are whipping the animal, that whip and that lash, it landed on my back. But I did not tell you at the time and I want to take revenge today." The Holy Prophet says, "Fine." And all the Muslims are in front of the Holy Prophet. The Muslims used to respect the Holy Prophet. But see, this personality of the Holy Prophet says, "Fine, no problem. You come and take your revenge." He comes. The Holy Prophet sends Bilal that go and bring my lash from the house of Fatima salamullahi alayhi. He comes, he goes, he comes, he brings that lash. The person comes in front. He says that, "But Ya Rasulullah, there is one thing that you have forgotten. And that is, when you had lashed me on my back was bare. My back was bare. So if I want to take revenge, you also should take out your shirt." In front of all the Muslims, the leader of the Muslim community, the Holy Prophet took out his shirt. But as you know that this person, instead of taking revenge on the Holy Prophet, he kissed the back of the Holy Prophet. But to this extent, this man and this leader used to give importance to the human rights. He was sincere with the people. He never lied to the people. If he was fighting for the human rights, he was sincere with his people. One day the Holy Prophet was coming from the battle, and it was a custom that the people of Medina used to come out and receive the Holy Prophet. As he was shaking hands with everyone, he shook a hand of a person and he sees that his hand is very rough. And the Holy Prophet was surprised. He comes down from his mount and he questions the person, that how come your hand is very rough, very stiff? He said that, Ya Rasulullah, I am a farmer. Miminim kulima, I am a farmer. I toil, I work hard, and the halal risk that I get, I take it to my family and children. In front of everyone, see what the Holy Prophet is doing. He holds the hand of that man, and he kisses the hand of that person and says that, هَذِهِ يَدٌ وَاللَّهَ لَا تَمُسُّهُ النَّارُ. That this is the hand by Allah, the fire of hell is not going to touch. Because this man is working hard in order to earn halal rizq and feed his family and children. Today, which leader is so sincere to his people that in front of everyone, everyone looks at his own prestige, that I have got my own prestige. I cannot do something to a mkulima, to a farmer. No, this is not what I am a leader. I need to protect and preserve my respect and position in the society. But this is not how the Holy Prophet was. He was very sincere to the people. He was very honest to the people. And that is why he could command respect from them. That is why he could conquer the hearts of the Arabs. One day a person comes to the Holy Prophet, and because he was the leader of the Muslim community, he was shivering. He could not even talk to the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet tells him, "Hawwin alayk, what has happened to you? Lastu bi malikin, I am not a king, I am not a monarch. Calm down, I am not a monarch. Speak to me, I am a human being like you." This is how the Holy Prophet used to live. This was the leadership of the Holy Prophet. This is how he set an example for humanity and for mankind. That if we want leaders, this is how a leader should be. A person comes in the city of Medina and he says that, "I want to see your prophet, your leader." The Muslims guide him that is the house of the Holy Prophet. He was not a Muslim. He comes to the house of the Holy Prophet. First of all, he was very surprised. You see, in history tells us that the life of the Holy Prophet was so simple that in Medina, he did not even have a presidential palace, a very special house for himself as the leader of the Muslim community. He had a very simple house. He did not have an army in Medina. He had a state, but without army. He did not even have bodyguards who used to protect and preserve him. This was how the Holy Prophet, he was leading a very simple life. This man comes and sees that this is the house of the leader of the Muslims. He knocks at the door of the Holy Prophet. After some time, the Holy Prophet comes out. When this man looks at the Holy Prophet, he was very much astonished. He talks to the Holy Prophet and comes out. When he goes back to the Muslims, he tells them that when the Holy Prophet came out, when your leader came out, I saw marks on his face. Because he was sleeping, he was the leader of the Muslim Ummah, and he was sleeping on the mat, mikeka. Yamvi in Kiswahili we say. How's it? Yamvi mikeka. He was sleeping on the mikeka. And when you sleep on the mikeka, you have the marks, it leaves marks on your face. He says that, "I'm surprised that this is the leader of the Muslim community. I have seen, by Allah, I have seen the leaders, the Persian and the Roman monarchs. But I have not seen a leader like the leader of the Muslims. He's leading such a simple life." This was how the Holy Prophet used to lead the Muslims. That honesty, when he used to express love for his people, he was honest in his love for them. And he was honest in expressing his love for the people. When he was fighting and struggling for the rights of the people, he was honest. He was with the people during their adversity, in their difficulties, at the time of their adversities. And this is how he could conquer the hearts of the people, something that was not possible for other monarchs and other emperors. Nehru says that when the Muslims conquered the world and when they spread all over the world, he says that the leaders of the world at that time must have wondered. They must have been astonished that what has this unknown personality done to these Arabs? That in a span of 23 years, he transformed that community, he changed that community. But what was the secret of this? The secret was that divine leadership of the Holy Prophet. That he was sincere to the people, he was honest to the people. And the people, they felt that honesty and sincerity in the Holy Prophet. And that is why they gave him their hearts and they accepted the Holy Prophet. I would end here. In conclusion, there are two conclusions. Number one, when it comes to the Islamic leadership, when you talk of Islamic leadership that has been given to us by the Holy Prophet, by our imams, this leadership is not separate from the lifestyle of the leader. It is not divorced from the lifestyle of the leader. The leader, his lifestyle is how through which he is leading the community and the society. The way he is in privacy, this is how he should be in public. This is number one. And number two, you have the right to ask me that, Ya Sheikh, you say that you'll be focusing on Amirul Mu'mineen, the leadership of Amirul Mu'mineen, his unique leadership, but you have spoken of the Holy Prophet. The reason is that the conclusion that you are getting here is that Ali bin Abi Talib was the student of the Holy Prophet. When we talk of the unique leadership of Ali bin Abi Talib, we are talking of a person who was trained in the school of leadership of the Holy Prophet. He was trained by the Holy Prophet. Right from day one, he used to be with the Holy Prophet. He was with the Holy Prophet. And until the end, he was with the Holy Prophet. He saw how this man was leading the community. He was trained by the Holy Prophet. And inshallah, tomorrow night, we'll have a look at the leadership of Ali bin Abi Talib. And we'll continue with our topic of discussion, inshallah. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be able to understand the teachings of the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali bin Abi Talib and put them into practice, inshallah. There was a request for dua for Shifa'ul Marza. So let us recite on Surah Al-Fatiha for the Shifa of all those who are sick, inshallah. Al-Fatiha. Bismillah.